B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. Oh, it's the All-Star Day here. Here at 97.5 The Fanatic, as we celebrate 10 years of FM sports talk radio, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. This is my portion of the All-Star Show. But we got another All-Star in, and riding in tow with me here, at least for the first hour. Dude, you've been living a lot of hours today.
Ah, it's great.
The great Anthony Gargano.
Who's up, my brother?
What's going on, man?
Hanging my favorite show. You know, I love this show.
Yes.
And I love the callers. I love you. I love Tyrone and Nat.
Yes,
Dave
and we
Center
have fun
City?
When we do on the air together, and people seem to like it. You get all kinds of reaction when we're doing the show.
Yeah, it's great. Could we tell stories?
Yeah, and that's what good sports talk radio is about, tell stories.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Martinez coming in this hour, right?
Yes, he is. I enjoyed the tete-a-tete that you and Jason had earlier.
We had that a little earlier, and I'll have more of that with him, because I have a theory on people who cover hockey.
Really?
Yes.
And how
it relates to why we are lighter on the Flyers than any other team in this city.
Really?
Yes. And I want to run that by Mr. Hockey.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
This comes
from a guy who once covered the Flyers.
Yeah, and that's how I learned.
Yeah.
Because I covered the Flyers. Listen, the Phillies are the big issue today with Gabe Kapler, but we'll get to that in a second. When I got out of college, I was a rabid Flyer fan. So when I got my first newspaper job, they said, well, Pete, would you like to cover? I said the Flyers. Why? Because I liked the Flyers. The longer I got into covering the Flyers, the more I realized that I couldn't be a fan of the sport, that I had to be a coverer of the sport.
That's right.
And what I saw in covering hockey was so many mundane regular season games and the nonsense of fighting in that era that I kind of turned off to it. The people who cover hockey are rabid fans of the Flyers. I don't mean it's any disrespect.
Look
at the guys that cover. Like my buddy Sam Carcini. He's a rabid Flyer fan.
Yeah.
Like all the beat writers are Flyer fans. Jason. He's a Flyer fan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you're a Flyer fan, subconsciously, you pull away from being really critical of them.
Yes.
And because me has not been as critical on the Flyers as other sports, I believe that that has permeated a softer stance on the Flyers, which makes the organization feel more comfortable in not the immediacy of not improving the team right away.
Well, it's interesting you say that. And think about this, and you know, because we're both newspaper guys. Mm-hmm. So they always told you that it's never good to cover a team from your hometown.
Right.
That you need to go out.
Yes.
All right? So I was in Chicago. I covered the Bulls. I covered the Cubs. I covered the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I was in New York. I covered the Mets. I covered the Knicks. It's a lot of Knicks. The Yankees. I didn't care about those teams. I literally had...
Right.
I was completely ambivalent toward... So when I covered them, I covered them fair and honestly without any prejudice that I might have now. Listen, I'm Sports Talk Radio now, so I don't need to be, you know, straight down the line.
Right.
But when I was a writer, you need to do that.
Now, I can detach myself in my position now. In Sports Talk Radio, you kind of have to be...
Walk both lines.
Yeah, you walk both lines. But I can totally detach myself from a team and look at them objectively. Because I'm kind of a miserable bastard anyway.
No,
right?
No, but you're a man who wants excellence
right.
for the fan base.
Yes. So would you agree that the Flyers have been less critically covered?
Yes, I completely agree.
Like, look at the outrage we're having now.
Over the Phillies.
Over the Phillies and that general manager. We are eviscerating him.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm guilty.
Okay, now, the Flyers have been able to avoid that because they have had heroes in the general manager spot.
BC.
Right. And if you cover the team.
Get rid of BC.
Right. If you cover the team and you love
Homer.
The Flyers growing up, you have a little deference to Bobby Clark. You have a deference to Ron Hextall. Now, you might be right in your judgment, but it just, to me, looks bad.
It's a good point.
That's why I was hardest on Martinez when he was my producer. So if he comes in.
Well, I enjoy the kind of tete-a-tete that you have, the relationship you have between the producers with Jason or with Tyrone.
I've had all different personalities as producers, too.
The repartee you have with Tyrone is really good. I enjoy.
Yeah.
Because I love Tyrone. So.
Yes.
I like the fact that you guys have this kind of deep friendship. It's nice.
Yeah, and we go back and forth about a lot of things.
It's good sports conversation, too.
On different wavelengths in certain areas. He's more believing in people than
I am. He's hopeful, yeah.
Yes, he's hopeful. And I'm more jaded because of the years that I've been covering sports.
No, it's good. The jaded thing is good for you.
Yeah, you got to show.
Like, that's you.
Like, you got to show me convincingly.
Yeah.
I've seen so many players in so many sports over the years that you got to, at this point in my
life, be special.
You got to show me something special.
You're not letting into Club Mike.
I don't have a Club Mike.
You're not letting Adam Haseley into Club Mike.
Exactly. Like, when I look at a guy like Bryce Harper and all the people that complain about Bryce Harper this year, I go, dude, you don't know what you have. He's the least of your worries.
Right.
Take that worry and put it really where it belongs.
Right.
Because Bryce Harper can play.
Exactly.
Like, other guys, maybe not. Judge them. Don't judge Bryce Harper. He's not the reason why the Phillies are losing.
Right. Well, who's in Club Tyrone right now?
Oh, Club Tyrone is you know, stocked with guys. You got my guy, Shake Milton.
You're right, Shake.
Deshaun Hall's my guy.
Yes.
I got Haseley.
I like to see
Haseley.
You got Haseley and Moniak.
Moniak's in front row in the minor league.
He don't blow anywhere near Club Tyrone.
Haseley's in there. Jonah Bolden's in there.
Yeah.
He's in Club Tyrone. You know,
the first member of Club Tyrone was Justin Anderson.
Justin Anderson was the first guy. And he's fighting for a job. Scrappy guy.
I looked at the guy and I go, that's an oaf. He looked at him like, whoa, look at the promise he had.
Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, he got carried away. Now, he's hopeful.
He does a floor show for inside Club Tyrone.
Now, in all seriousness, if we're being honest, all right? If we're being honest. The manager, the only thing he did right this year was give Haseley playing time.
Yes.
Club Tyrone guy.
Hold on a second. See, Anthony and I have had this Haseley conversation, too. And I think we both come out the same way.
Yes.
You do.
It's not that we don't like him as a major league player. It's that we don't like him as a starting major league player.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why is it that we look at it and see as a fourth outfielder?
Because the Phillies
guy like
have
Tyrone not, looks at it and goes, he's Mickey Mantle. Why is that?
I would say Mickey Mantle.
It's not Tyrone's fault. He's going to hit some home runs. He's a starting center fielder.
So he hits the 20 bops. 20. Not 50. 20 bops.
Yeah, it's not Tyrone's fault. Because the Phillies can't develop outfielders, as we found out.
Yeah.
So he's never seen a good Phillies outfielder.
Yeah, but he's seen like an ability. Like, you look at a guy. I see what you mean. But you look at a guy, I look at a guy, and I go,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
no, all right. So why is that?
Right. I don't know. I think
we've seen a lot over the years. And
DeBro does the same thing. He overrates guys all the time.
Well, he's young in the business. He's not like a seasoned eyeball guy.
See, I still think you should go, as you promised, to Latin America. And I think you should find
the
next great Phillies outfield. They can't find an outfield.
They can't
develop an outfield or a starting pitcher.
No, you're right. Now, but wait a minute. There is an opening. Gabe got let go today. If they call you, Mike, and say, we want you in the organization, but we do not want you to go to Latin America. We want you. You have to keep this bench coach. You have to keep. You can hire your own hitting coach and your own pitching coach. We want you to be the manager of the team. What would you say?
Well, that would be ridiculous.
They call you.
Of course, I would be the manager.
I mean, they hired another first-time manager. Why couldn't you be the manager? They're going to hire Ibanez.
I thought you were going to say if they called and asked you to be part of their scouting organization, would you do it?
No, if you wanted to be the manager.
Because they would never ask me to be back.
Why not? They're going to give you analytics. They'll fill out the lineup card for you.
This is a hypothetical. Would I take? Of course I would.
All right, but what if the prerequisite of the job was just like Gabe, the field, the general manager's running the field.
He's filling out the lineup
card. He puts Brad Miller
at cleanup.
I would not take the job if the general manager was going to make the lineup out for me.
All right, well, he's going to do that.
Well, then I'd go.
So you would say no?
No, I would. I could. If you're going to hire me from the manager, it's because of my own input.
No, they just want to. They just want to stooge.
To be a major league manager, like at their whim, maybe I'd do it. I mean, really, what do I have to lose?
You look good in uniform.
What do I lose? Yeah,
you'd be great in press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, that's high blue. Oh. You know,
I get.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Where was that? You know?
You'd be all right. Why'd you do that? Let me ask you a question. You'd be pointing a guy at reporters. You'd be like Fregosi. You'd be pointing. You'd be pointing. What'd you say? What kind of baseball did you play? All right? You play baseball?
No, I would say I challenge him. I go, what was the genesis of that question? Why would you ask a question like that? What's on your mind about that question? That you would ask it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you agree.
I need a foundation for the question before I answer the question.
You would point. You would do the point. Point's the best. The Mike Miss point, Tyrone.
All right. Well, anyway, the Phillies are bringing back all their coaches. In case you didn't know, the latest plank to this whole thing is that Kapler's out, but Rob Thompson, Paco Figueroa, Dusty Wathan, Bobby Dickerson, catching coaches Bob Stumpo and Craig Driver, and bullpen coach Jim Gott, assistant pitching coach. They have an assistant pitching coach. Who knew? What'd he do this year? Dave Lundquist and assistant hitting coach Pedro Guerrero are back.
What about Charlie?
Charlie's out. Charlie will not come back as the hitting coach, so the hitting coach is out. Chris Young, the pitching coach, is out. The head athletic trainer and the assistant trainer are out.
Yeah, let's blame the trainer. So that's a great Clintack move.
So the manager...
Let's blame the trainer.
The manager gets the job. He can't possibly now with this. I'm thinking they think they're not going to hire a veteran manager. Because the veteran manager...
Unless it's Showalter.
You think Showalter would take a job for all his...
So hell bent on returning to the game. But listen, you take these guys out of the game, out of uniform, it's like fish out of water.
Yeah.
Listen, Charlie, he came back because he wants to put a uniform. He loves baseball, but he's not. They're not going to be stool pigeons for this whole organization. Now, yeah. Showalter, I don't know. You know, does he want it bad enough? He knows Klentak well.
Uh-huh.
He knows McPhail. He may want to be.
Right, if Showalter is desperate to get back in the game, maybe he does.
You're not getting Joe Girardi.
But yeah, Girardi and Madden are. That's my coaching. You created my coaching staff.
No.
Like this is me here. No. You know. So maybe Showalter would do it. But I'm leaning towards this is a fresh face somewhere who has managerial experience, maybe in the minor leagues, and somebody's bench coach now, some successful team. I think maybe that's where they
are. How does it work when the GM is overstepping his boundaries on the field? Like, hey, can that somehow work?
I keep thinking of Moneyball, right? The general manager's instincts were better than the manager, right?
Yeah.
He
didn't even watch the games, right? Yeah.
Right? So, but he said, I want so-and-so here.
Right.
And Art Howell refused to do it.
Yes.
So then finally, he...
No, and this is what's playing out, you know? Mm-hmm. This is the movie, actually, the movie playing out.
Yeah.
Because all the decisions on the field are taking place upstairs.
All right. Well,
how's that work?
I don't know.
How's that work out?
Here's what I said earlier.
Let's talk Sixers.
Doing the show earlier. We will talk Sixers.
Please.
Matisse Thybulle's coming up at 2:30. So we'll talk to the young lad. And in 3 o'clock hour, Hembo will be here with some Eagles.
I love when he comes on.
Yeah, he's got some great Eagles stats.
Hembo's awesome.
Against the Minnesota Vikings. Where was my train of thought? Where was I going
to
say?
Back to the Phillies.
Oh, back to the Phillies somehow? Oh.
How about if I just... Can I have a request? Can I do the Tyrone play the song?
Oh, no, that's a midday special.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't... I get pumped up. I got Mike. Sixers?
Can't play a song.
No? All right. Make it Sixers song?
Yeah, I mean, I could...
You can play that. Or you can make it...
Sixers song.
Thanks.
But, like, after Thybulle.
Yeah.
All right.
This is the prelims.
All right.
Until we get to Thybulle.
I can't... Because I can't wait for Sixers basketball.
Yeah.
Right, you and I, our core brotherhood
it is,
comes Sixers. From basketball. It comes is. From the Sixers.
It is. Yep. All right, so we'll talk about that. We'll have some fun. And who's joining us here today?
All right. So 2:30 Thybulle. 3:15, you have Hembo with the stats.
Yeah, no, I mean what personalities will be in here on All-Star Day.
Well, we'll have Trey Thomas at one point will join us.
Okay.
D. Lynam.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Farzetta.
Okay.
Jason Martinez.
Hey, when's Jason coming in?
He's supposed to be here now.
Oh, yeah? Where is he?
He's back there recording something for hockey.
He's hiding.
He's recording something for hockey.
Oh, he's hockey recording?
Yeah, he's hockey recording.
He wants no part. He can't deal with more Mike.
Because I want to run.
And Devon Givens. So he'll be in as well. He's supposed to be in now, but he had to do a special recording because obviously the Flyers are 2-0 for the first time in 7 years.
All right. So all that is ahead. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Is the Mike Maselli portion of the All-Star Day 10-year anniversary. I'm with the Cuz. And so we'll get some calls, all that kind of stuff after this.
The Mike Maselli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, we do have like the format of a regular Mike Maselli show today. So I got to tell you that my show sheets are not here because I didn't take them. I forgot.
All right, well, I got you on this one.
But that's all right. It's the Lion Conklin HVAC.
Yes.
I got right, you. HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating, cooling job. And Natalie is going to read her own.
Poll.
Right. She's going to read her own for the Twitter poll when I hand it to her.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I like when this is by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Let me see if I do this from memory. Paul B. Moyer and Sons, attention all landscapers.
Uh-huh.
If you have a zero turn or a, what's the other mower called?
Walk behind.
A conventional or a zero turn mower. No, there's not convention. Doesn't say
it's
convention.
Walk behind.
Walk behind.
Behind mower.
Right, if you have one of those mowers and like it's petering out, instead of buying a new one,
get the robot like you have.
You get an engine replacement, Paul B. Moore and Sons.
Okay,
they have engine replacements in stock.
Oh, yes, really? They do.
Not cheaper than buying a new piece of equipment.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you go to paulbmoyer.com. Natalie,
that's it.
What's the Twitter poll?
I get the trumpets from that.
Yes, today's poll has over 600 votes on this early. Are you more optimistic about the Phillies' future now that Gabe Kapler has been fired? 43% say yes. 57% say no.
No, I agree with the majority.
Yeah.
With the masses.
I agree with that as well.
As long as Klentak's there and Ned Rice, the Baker boys.
See, I am perfectly okay with what they did today. And that doesn't mean I am endorsing Matt Klentak. What it means to me is, because he was close to bringing back the whole thing, in my opinion. So at least what I have is something fresh that I can hope on. I wouldn't have had that if Gabe Kapler was back.
Now, how would you vote in that poll, though?
Well, what was the question again, Nat?
Are you optimistic about the Phillies' future now that he's been fired?
I'm more optimistic than I was with Gabe Kapler as the manager.
So now, you would say yes.
Listen, they're not going to be as good as the Braves, the Nationals, and maybe even the Mets with that starting pitching rotation. So what can I really expect?
That's why the right answer is no. I'm not optimistic because Klentak's still in charge.
But I'm optimistic about a change.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let's look at Gabe for a second.
Huh?
What did he do? Because Klentak...
He did nothing.
Right. Klentak did all his on-the-field stuff. So that's not going to change.
All right. Suppose Klentak does lend an ear to whoever they hire. And the whoever they hire goes, I can't use him and him. We've got to change that whole alignment.
Right, the Sean Rodriguez situation.
Well, I'm going deeper. I'm going starters.
All right.
Here's what I know. You gave a contract to Kingery. Kingery's got to play a position.
Now, he's got to play second.
That's enough. He's got to play second.
He's got to get rid of Cesar.
He's got to get rid of Cesar.
Yeah.
And if there's a shortstop that you can get in a deal, you got to get rid of Segura. You got to have to play the kid at third base because you don't have any other solution but to let the kid play to see if he's a major league player at third base. You don't have any other. You got to get me a center fielder because I can't ride with what we have now. So I'm making my team stronger by having Kingery at second, Bohm at third, a new center fielder, more reliable than what they have.
New shortstop.
Haseley, a new shortstop, if I can get it. It might be hard to get it because he's under contract. He makes a nice buck, Segura. Haseley solves one of my problems. A bench outfielder that I can start, versatile, whatever. Yeah. But he's not going to be a starter. At least I have my bench. Looks better with him as a front man bench player than it did before.
Right.
Right?
Right. Hold on.
Then it's just a matter of Rhys Hoskins figuring something out. And if he doesn't figure something out, then I got to make a move with him, too. And I got to go backwards to go forward.
Well, what are you going to do? You got no pay. You still have no power.
I understand
Unless Bohm can hit for power in the big league, which is a leap now.
That's why I got to hope Rhys Hoskins come back. I'm going to get 20 from McCutcheon. Right?
Yeah, no, you get 20 from that. He comes back from an ACL.
Too much to expect Bohm to give me 20. I hear you with the power thing, but I mean, that's what I got to proceed. I got to change it up a little bit to give my fan base a little hope.
Do you have any, are you a little upset about the fact that the GM gets to hire the manager, the owner's not stepping in and saying, I'm bringing in the guy? Because he made it very clear, he released it, it'll be Klentak's job to pick a new manager, not the owner. He's not taking the bull by the horns. He's letting his guy, he's trusting him to just bring in a new guy who may end up being a Gabe clone.
It's the compromise. It's the great compromise of the benevolent John Middleton. Because what he did here, because there's no question in my mind that Klentak was kicking and screaming not to get rid of Gabe Kapler. And he listened to it for a really long time. And so in his mind, to be the benevolent owner, he goes, all right, I gotta zip Matt's guy, but I'll let him do this. Keep his coaches, pick the manager, whatever. He's not a dictator owner. He's a guy who wants to believe that he hired those guys and it was a good hire in the first place.
I wish he was a dictator owner.
Well, he's not. So you can see by this, there's no way that all these coaches should be back.
No.
If you're going to zip the manager, but this is the great compromise, and I think that he was fretting these last 2 weeks about undercutting Klentak, who he thought he discovered.
Yeah.
He thought he discovered a great general manager.
That's the problem, is that when Middleton views Klentak as a discovery, look, I found the next great smart guy.
Yeah.
That's an issue when the next great smart guy can't draft, can't develop Latin America, doesn't know what good pitching is. I'm all due respect to Matt. I mean, what's he done that has been good?
He's done nothing. He also apparently can't hire scouts. Whoever is hiring these scouts to come up with as little prospects as they can is mind-blowing to me. It's almost impossible. You can get a guy off the street who's never seen baseball to pick out more players than they have in their system.
Think about it. Walker Buehler, who starred for the Dodgers this season, they passed up on him for Cornelius Randolph.
Yeah, they said Cornelius Randolph was the best hitter in the draft.
I mean, that's laughable.
Where is he now? Where is he now?
It's in Double A. Stuffle.
I mean, that's laughable. Mickey Moniak. Serious with Mickey Moniak?
And the guy they picked over, the Latin player that they went over Vlad Jr.,
yeah.
over Soto,
Fernando
over
Tatis.
Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
Listen, those
still
are the problems.
Still in single A.
Those problems still exist. The fact that this organization has been able to condition that few prospects is just mind-boggling to me. But
they can't get an outfielder. The easiest position, they can't. How many outfielders have they produced? Like, great outfielders.
Nobody.
Like, outfield.
Really? Pat Burrell?
Burrell's among their best.
I mean,
he is. Burrell's among the all-time best for them.
That's
as far as homegrown.
It's shameful. Shameful.
I'm trying to think. When I was a kid, the best outfielder that was homegrown when I was growing up, matter of fact, they didn't have one.
How much time, Kyron? And see, you were part. You were backing this guy, too. And I kept telling you, how much time are they going to waste on this kid? He can't play.
Who?
Roman Quinn. How much time have they wasted on this kid? Seriously. They have gone through four years of Roman Quinn.
He's never been healthy more than 2 weeks in his whole career.
Well, then what's that say?
It means he's fragile and you can't rely on him.
You can't play him.
Right, you can't rely on him.
He's not a player in the major leagues.
You're right. I can't argue with you.
What can a guy say wasted time on? Nick Williams, Altair.
He was in club time for a long time.
I mean, these guys are... What are they looking at? Are they looking through a brown paper bag at players?
Altair.
I mean, seriously.
They thought Altair would be a great upscaling.
Like, really, they have no concept of talent. This organization is the biggest failure in all of sports. They're at 11,000 losses. 11,000. How many pitchers have they developed in your lifetime, Mike?
One.
Cole Hamels. And maybe Noah.
Yeah.
All right.
Call Hamels and Noah.
That's unbelievable. In your lifetime, two pitchers.
That's unbelievable.
How many outfielders? I mean, these are 101.
And Burrell was the number one overall pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So that's the only one they ever got right, was the first pick in the draft. So they never found like a third round gem or seventh round. These other teams find
Mike
guys.
Piazza, who was drafted in the 95th round.
Yeah, they never find.
As a favor.
They don't find
to Vince.
Guys.
It's a Hall of Famer. They can't get out of their own way. All due respect to Klentak, because this predates him by a mile, but this goes back to Jeff Jackson and Frank Thomas. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Tyrone, they draft Jeff Jackson, a kid in Chicago, right? How many baseball games did they play in Chicago?
Inner city league, high school.
What, does he play 15 games all the snow? Right.
Right.
Right. Seriously. They pass up Frank Thomas for Jeff Jackson.
Really?
The big hurt. Yeah. Should have had Frank Thomas. Instead, they got Jeff Jackson. Seriously. Like, that's this organization. They're the biggest failure in all of sports.
I would make scouting simple. Like, you don't even look at anybody above the Mason-Dixon line. That's
right. But then you miss on Trout.
Be real.
But you miss on Trout.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to miss on Trout occasionally. But what the percentage I'm going to find better players and play all year round is what?
Oh, way better.
All right. I'm going to go.
Get year-round Florida players. You get the Georgia players, the Texas players, right. And the Dominican
I'm
players.
Cut it off at Tennessee and go south and go south and go south. You know what I'm saying?
Keep going south.
I'm
going
to keep going south. And that's it. And if somebody from the North becomes a player, I miss them. Sorry.
How many Latin American players have they developed in your life?
That's what
Mike?
I'm saying. They go to the wrong tree. They fall off trees, apparently, to every other organization.
Look at the Braves.
I don't know. Let's go to a call. People want to talk
to Dave in Center City. I want to talk to Dave. I love Dave.
Dave has to wait. Let's go to Gene. Go up there. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How is everybody?
What's up, Gene? What's going on today?
You know what's going on. I am happy to see that they finally made the move and got rid of Mr. Kapler. But again, I am a little concerned because I kind of agree with what Cuz was saying, and that as long as Klintak's there pulling the strings, are we really making an improvement? We don't need another puppet. We need a manager that's going to come in and be able to put his guys in place. And until that happens, I can't say that I feel better about the move. It's, you know.
No, you're looking for the big gulp cup. You know, I just went with the small. I went the smaller size.
I like
right
the
now.
Big gulp.
The big gulp. You can't reach for the
Come
big
on,
gulp.
Gene, let's get the big gulp.
The big gulp is that? It's too much.
I like the super big gulp because, you know, like I said,
we all want the super big gulp, but you got to be realistic. You got to take the change that they give you and be happy with it for at least a little while, and then you reserve the right to judge it. But what they did needed to be done. So that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm trying to be happy about what they did.
It did need to be done, but it feels like they made the move just to make the move because they knew something needed to be done, but something much bigger needs to be done. And I hope they address that as well.
They're not going to, but you're right.
Well, here's I'm going to give you the other side of it. Right, they're not going to contend next year, right? Because there's too many teams ahead of them now. All right, so within a year, that's one more year of Klentak, and at the end of that year, he goes. He wasn't going to go now because he just gave an extension. But after this year, when they don't contend, and they're not going to contend, you may see a little improvement, but that's then when the general manager goes. So it's a process.
But you're also putting this at risk of being behind another full year. I mean, I see what you're saying, but as you can tell, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, what else are you going to do about it?
Like I said, if it were me and I was John Middleton, I'm getting rid of all of them.
But you knew that wasn't going to happen.
I
said it from day one. It's not going to happen. The guy has immense pride, John Middleton. He's not going to make himself look ridiculous, but months after giving two guys an extension, that he's going to zip them both. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Because he would look ridiculous. You know John Middleton. I know him a little bit. He's a guy who has some pride in what he does.
But it's not like he's Waltz.
No. No, I get it.
Yeah. I get it. Ridiculous.
I'm not a man in my position. Cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous.
Doesn't Waltz remind you of Ed Snyder? Yes. Seriously, I always thought Ed, God rest his soul, looked like Waltz.
Well, yeah, but where did that come from?
No, they looked alike. They had the same look. I told Ed once that.
What did he say?
He liked it. He liked Waltz, yeah.
He knew who Waltz was?
Yeah, he was a big Godfather man.
He was?
Yeah, sure.
He was a Godfather man?
He was a Godfather man.
Wow. Oh.
I liked the big goat.
From Seth?
From Seth.
Yeah, did you hear that, Mike, earlier? Yeah. Earlier in All-Star there? What do you call 7-Eleven?
7-Eleven?
Yeah.
7-Eleven.
Uh-huh. Natalie?
What?
It's called Sev.
I never heard that. See? I'd never heard it either.
What is it called, Sev?
It's Sev.
In Northeast Philly?
No, it's called everywhere. I put it on my Twitter, and everybody who's responding is saying that it's Sev.
Northeast thing.
No, my wife said that she calls it Sev. Although, when she's speaking to me, she's never called it Sev, but she tried to jump on and say, I always called it Sev.
It was, then what about a girl thing? You sure now?
I'm positive. It's not a girl thing.
I never heard that ever.
Me neither.
You never heard, I'm going to go to Sev?
Nope.
Do you want anything? Do you want a big gulp?
Hey, Booney, you could chime in too. I want Booney from TV to say, what does he call it?
It's Sev. 100%.
I never had that. I heard this. I never heard of it. The Sev.
That's where I picked up the OJ for this morning.
With the Sev, yeah.
At Sev.
That was a solid move by you, though, Nat.
I had to come in clutch, apparently.
You did. You're strong.
Good old Sev was there by my side.
Without the OJ.
No.
Oh, yeah. Sev.
Well,
nothing?
Just filling you in on the day and all the TV people.
You were a man of the Sev, too.
I was 7-Eleven fan.
Yeah.
Because I used to get the burrito.
Oh, the burrito. That's right. The burrito.
The microwave burrito. Yeah. Nothing better when you got a couple pops in.
Yeah. Used to tell them about that. Used to want the burrito.
That greasy protein, it helps.
It
helps before you go to bed and you're good.
Yeah, the extra hot beef and bean burrito.
You know what I never got, though? The cheesesteak. Where did you get the cheesesteak from?
Oh, at the Rite Aid.
At the Rite Aid?
Oh, man.
How could they have a cheesesteak?
It wasn't like I was, like, it looked great. I wanted it. I wanted to try it because I couldn't believe.
Right, you're at a Rite Aid.
That Rite Aid had.
So you get your deodorant
and buy it. And cheesesteaks. I said, I've got to taste this.
That was it a frozen thing?
No, it was just in the sandwich, like a refrigerated sandwich stand.
Wow. Yeah, they get them delivered. Because I got a Super Rite Aid by me now. They have sandwiches.
Really?
They have sandwiches.
Rite Aid!
It comes off the truck, off the refrigerator truck, and they load up on stuff like every day.
Yeah,
it's semi-fresh.
Yeah.
I go, here's what I like. This is definitely Metagon move.
Yeah.
but I just wanted to taste it and so I could comment on who would buy the product.
No, it's, well, it's brilliant for the show.
Didn't you say the cheese was hard?
No,
did you say the cheese was like crusty or something?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was a bad move. Yeah. But then I went back. I go, this is so bad that there's no way they can keep carrying it. They still carry it.
And they still
have them stacked up. Somebody's buying it.
Yeah, and Booney says it's absolutely Sev.
See?
Where's Booney from?
Booney's from Delco.
Yeah, he's Delco.
I'm telling you. He and I'm getting all these tweets.
Like all caps, Sev. All caps.
Now, could that be, an age thing?
Now, Booney's, I think, in between Natalie and I in age.
Huh.
I gotta be honest with you, I never heard.
I never heard of it. We never called it Sev.
7-Eleven is easy enough to say where you wouldn't have to abbreviate it, right?
Why? When you could just say Sev. 7-Eleven. Five syllables compared to one?
No, actually, Booney's in between me and you, Aunt and H.
Huh.
7-Eleven rolls off the tongue. Well, I don't know why you have to show. All right, we'll take a break. Coming up, Matisse Thybulle is joining us.
Matisse!
245.
Sixers, baby!
Yes, as we segue into the Sixers on All-Star Day. Martinez ducked out, man. Martinez wormed out of the hot seat.
He'll be in there. Don't worry. He's coming. He's still recording.
I want to see you grill him like a Rite Aid steak.
I just want to give my theory, run my theory past the one who covers hockey. All right, we're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2:49 on the Mike Missinelli Show. We're expecting to hear from Matisse Thybulle anytime now. Alright, so
what'd you think of Godfather Harlem?
I liked it. Yeah. I liked the first two episodes.
Are you going to stick with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stick with new shows that I'm interested in. I like...
Forrest Whitaker's tremendous.
Yeah, I like the subject matter of that kind of show. That's a show Bumpy. That I would stick in with.
He's tremendous as Bumpy.
Yeah.
And I got Vincent D'Onofrio as the Chin.
Yeah, the Chin looks... Vincent D'Onofrio looks bad in there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But he had to gain a few LBs for that role. You think he's at that?
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you something. This is an interesting conversation that you had when you were doing your part of this whole thing that we're doing today. The concept of we.
Yes.
And coach.
Yeah, the we thing.
The we thing. Let's take the we thing, because your boy Jamie.
Yes.
The bro. Likes to use we.
Uh-huh.
As if he's part of the team. Now
we have a really good run game.
Right. Now I'm an anti-we guy, and I think you are too.
I am. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. You can't be a print journalist and refer to the team as we. Now you're a fan.
Right.
It's cool, man. That's what you do. I get it. Like that's we that. You know, you're talking with somebody in Minnesota, you go we.
Right. But position in the media, you can't use we. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Now, if you're an ex-player, you can use we.
Yeah, Jason Avant.
Uses we.
Yeah, and he should. He played for the Eagles. He was an Eagle. He was in the room.
Yes. All right. So I actually had a discussion with the bro as I was pulling
you
in.
You berated the bro.
Accosted
the bro.
I discussed the situation with the bro. Because here's my theory.
Yeah, what did you say? What did you say to him?
Fans, listen to this and open your mind to this. The reason I don't do it is because we're in a position where fans like to come to us for something extra. Because we're in a position where this is our full-time profession. And
our job is
like
to cover
to
the team.
We have a little edge and know a little something here and a little something there. Now, when you're saying we, as a media guy, you're telling the fans that you don't know more at all.
Well, you also imply that you're not as objective.
Right. So you're got like the fans could talk to their Uncle Louie, and it's we right. Because it's the same kind of banter. But when they call here, I believe they're looking for something more than something they would just gain from their Uncle Louie.
Yes, I
agree. So that's why I would
go. Well, due respect to Uncle Louie, I'm sure he knows what's going on.
Right, you don't go we, because if you go we, you're reducing yourself to Uncle Louie.
Right,
and then they don't trust you,
right.
Fans. That's just my theory. I could be, like, out of whack.
No, listen, we're cut from the same cloth when it comes to that. Tyrone, what's your stance on the we?
No, you can't we. I don't we. And the reason is, well, partially because when I started, I was working with you two. But the other part is, like when I started early, you guys, you can't with that wee stuff. And also, you told me early, you can't take, okay, if I like the Sixers back then and someone criticizes Iverson, I can't internalize that like they're talking about me. Some fans, when you're a fan, you take that kind of criticism personally. When you work the business, you can't take team criticism or player criticism personally. Those were the two first things that I learned. No we, and you can't internalize those kind of criticism. Those fans are allowed to criticize, and then you either can agree or disagree, but you can't internalize it and, like, have their back on a personal type level.
Right. Okay, so we got that squared away. And we're popping in three. I know you have to get going, but I wanted to talk about the coach part of it as well, like calling somebody coach. There are a lot of young people around here who will use coach.
Well,
and call somebody coach that they're interviewing.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Say you meet somebody off the air who's a venerable coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this. All those coaches, they want to be called coach. They feel like they've earned the right. It's like doctor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're going to call me doctor. You know, I'm Dr. Missanello.
That's different.
Well, but if you've coached, your profession or
coach
vocation.
Coach is not on the same level as doctor. Coach is just us.
I still think it's a title, though.
But it's still
coach
beyond.
Is a man or a woman. That's who a coach is.
Really?
Yes. And if you address somebody coach, you're telling them that they're at a higher level than you are.
Well,
and
if you are. If you're an athlete.
No, I'm talking about a media.
Yeah.
Media person. Uh-huh. Obviously, people like
Matisse
can call him coach.
Right.
Right. And Matisse is on the line right now. Ladies and gentlemen, 76ers rookie. A lot of people loving him already in this town. The Matisse Thybulle, the Sixers first round draft pick. Matisse, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. How you guys?
We're doing good. I guess I got an idea. You're a long way from home right now, right?
Yeah.
You're in the NBA and you're adjusting to the East Coast. How's that going so far?
It's been good. I was kind of concerned at first, but no, the city's been great. People are great, and I love the team.
Well, you're a great photographer, too. Do you know this?
Thank you.
He's an amazing photographer, Mark.
Is he?
Yeah.
I was asking, why were you concerned about it?
He's got a great eye.
Matisse, we'll talk about your photography, but why were you concerned about coming to the East Coast?
I've lived on the West Coast most of my life, whether it was Arizona or Seattle, and the only other place I lived was Australia. And I feel like I just... Everyone talks about how different it is out here on the East Coast.
Were you afraid of the people here? Was that like part of it? Like these monsters that live out here?
The devils.
The devils in Philadelphia?
No. No, I was not concerned about that. All right,
so how is life in the NBA? You seem to be fitting in perfectly. You know exactly what your role is at this stage of your career. What are you noticing about the NBA that is different than anything you've learned in basketball?
Just how fast and how physical it is. Just like there's a lot of things that work in college that you kind of just have to throw out the window because like there's just no way it's gonna fly in the NBA. So just like trying to speed up, like being able to speed up and have the game, but at the same time have the game slow down for me, and then just like being able to match the physicality.
When did you first notice that? First practice, scrimmage, summer league. When?
Open gym. When the guys started coming back, I mean, summer league was a faster pace than I was used to, but then once we started playing pickup, we started playing open gym, it got even faster, and I was like, okay, this is a whole new beast that I was not aware of.
Who you been matching up with in practice a lot?
It depends on the day. Ben, Tobias, those are usually my matchups.
I figured you'd be on Ben and Tobias, and what's their... Tell us about Ben's game, about trouble guarding him and what it's like to guard him. What do you have to look at? Because it gives us a window into his how his offensive game is, has come along.
It's, I mean, definitely just he was one of the main reasons I was became aware of the physicality at this level. Just because when Ben gets ahead of steam, it's next to impossible to stop him. So just trying to play a cat and mouse game, trying to keep him on his heels or just keep him guessing so he doesn't just barrel down on me and put me in the hoop has just been something I've been trying to figure out.
Matisse, we're talking Matisse Thybulle. Matisse, you look like you're in rotation like right away. First guy off the bench, maybe second guy off the bench. What do you see as your role? What have they told you they want from you? But what do you see as your role?
I'm pretty lucky. My role is simple. And Coach Brown pulled me into his office the other day so we could talk about it. And it's literally to come in, ramp it up on defense, and that's getting deflection, steals, blocks, whatever it is I can do, and then just make threes. Hunt threes and make threes.
Three and D. That's it, baby. That's it.
That's awesome. Now, when you look at this roster, this is obviously, we're looking at from the outside looking in, but we know what a good roster is because we've seen them here and we've seen the gaps. This team doesn't seem to have a gap. When you look at this roster, what do you see?
This is my first NBA roster I've ever been a part of, but to be surrounded with the amount of talent we have, it's just kind of crazy just being on the court, especially being in the second group in practice and things like that, just, like, looking at all the options. Like let's say, yeah, okay, you're going to try and shut down Joel. Then we have Al. And then it's like, okay, you're going to try and shut that down. Oh, don't forget about Ben. And then it's like, well, then don't forget about Jay Rich. And then at the end of the day, we still have Tobias out there who's been a dominant scorer for a long time. And it's just like looking at that, it's like, holy cow. Like, I don't know how teams are going to be able to match up.
Have they brought you along? You know, it's funny. Tobias said to me the other day about family and really fostering that family feel. What have they done with you and how have they kind of brought you into the family?
I mean, Tobias early on, he took me and Mario, he took us out to dinner and, like, just sat us down and just kind of just told us what to expect, just being in NBA, what this lifestyle is like, what the game's like at this level, and then just giving us pointers on how we can be as successful as possible. But we've done team events, like we've gone paintballing. Me and Kyle O'Quinn went to yoga yesterday, actually.
To the hot yoga?
It was hot yoga, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't make it.
What restaurant did Tobias take you to?
I don't remember the name. It was in Fishtown somewhere.
Cool.
It was really good.
Soraya?
No, it was not.
It was not?
I've heard of that.
Tobias had to pick that tab up, right?
No, Tobias is kind of the man when it comes to restaurants.
Yeah. He knows but Tobias, the man when it comes to credit cards?
He paid for it.
He did take care of it. He did.
Well, at least he could do, you know, to the road. Now, tell me about this photography career.
Yeah, he's incredible.
What's going on with that? And when did you pick that up?
Photography for me, I picked it up, like, my sophomore year of college, I think. It was just kind of a hobby that my friends had. And then just hanging out with them, it just kind of became the thing that we did together. And, you know, and then just from there, just like I became kind of obsessed with it. And then just like through YouTube, taught myself everything I know now. And yeah, it's been a great kind of escape or hobby or just thing for me to do outside of basketball.
It's awesome, man.
He's got a really good eye.
Cultured material.
Have you looked at you've done much skyline stuff? Because this city, it's got a beautiful skyline in that sense. You know that.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been able to, I don't know, like, the spots yet. Yeah. I'm still getting my bearings with the city, but no, I definitely plan to get some shots because the sky is beautiful. Also, the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that's all right, awesome. Last thing, I know you're a happy guy. People talk about how happy of a guy you are and how you're always smiling. Tell me a little bit about your background and being raised and how you got that way.
I say a lot of it comes from my dad. And like anyone who's met my dad can, like, and they just understand immediately because his energy is really contagious. And like, people tell me that I'm happy, but my dad's 10 times happier than I am. And just like growing up around that and my mom just like having the biggest heart, it's just kind of just it was all laid out for my sister and I to just be the way we are now.
That's beautiful. It really is. Very beautiful, cool. Man. That's the way it should be.
Yep. All right, so I know, you're young on this squad, but we always love to get predictions from guys on how good they think they are. There are a couple guys that your teammate James Ennis says that this is NBA Finals, and he made no bones about it. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's clear that this is a championship team, and I think we all see ourselves playing in the NBA Finals.
Well, that was a very diplomatic answer.
That's what he said.
But it's so cool. First year in the league, and look what you got.
You don't understand. You heard all the stories about the process, right? You're coming in the perfect time, man. This is it. Like, this is the end of it. This is the culmination of the process, baby.
Yeah, safe to say, I got pretty lucky.
Good man.
Best of luck to you. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and we'll touch base.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Matisse Thybul, Sixers rookie. First guy off the bench.
He's a great kid.
Brett obviously knows what he brings.
Yeah. He's a great kid. Yeah. He really is a great kid. He's got that. You can see his parents were wonderful people. Yeah. And he was smiling. He's always smiling.
All right, we'll take a break. You hanging? Or you
I got to go to
another segment?
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm definitely going to hang. I got to go to Parks for Cousin's Corner.
Oh.
So I'm
going to stay here for a couple hours.
Well, I got to drive out to the Northeast. To Nat's place of the world.
Yeah.
That's far northeast. Parks is far. It's not even in the northeast. But it's considered northeast. Right. You have to take a journey through.
It is a bit of a journey from here.
You take the boulevard?
I know it's in Bensalem.
Yeah.
That's my stomach ground.
That's more Mike than me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I think anything north of Market Street's the northeast.
I mean, kind of.
Like, anything north of Marcus G is north.
That's high school is 100 times bigger than my high school. We beat it. We scored 100-some points on the first time we played them.
Did you really?
They stalled the second time we played them. We won the game 15-14. They held the ball. There was no shot
clock. Bensalem?
Bensalem came to our place and held the ball.
Wow.
Because they were afraid of us. We were fast break. Boom, get off the glass, go.
And running gum like the Reds.
Right.
They
couldn't hang, so they held the ball on us.
Wow. That's a violation.
It is a violation. All right, we're coming back. Mike Mussinelli Show. We are on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philly. All-Star Day. A lot of folks joining us in the 3 o'clock hour, including D. Lynam is here. We got Martinez going to come in. Devon Gibbons will be in sometime. Trey's hanging around. Mark Farzetta. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.